your phone, on the new Sports Hub app,
and on your computer.
98.5thesportshub.com.
Toucher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich was sick yesterday, and Hardy, who is our always our number one choice to fill in, no offense to anyone else, but he is, filled in for Rich. He did a good job, as he always does. I feel like chemistry with Hardy. And Bird, who answers the phone on Mondays, and who fell asleep during the show yesterday, dead asleep, which is amazing to me, how you could just put your head down on a desk during a four-hour job and fall asleep. There's the picture right there. Of Bird asleep, legitimately asleep. Your job is to answer the phone. So Bird fell asleep during the show yesterday. Hardy did the show with me. Hardy's on the line. Hello, Hardy.
Yeah, hi. Hello.
All right, so if you, yesterday's show, I have no problem with it.
No, I thought it was a pretty good show.
I thought it was a pretty good show, too. I don't know what the issue was or what was going on. But I got into the Jock Lounge after the show, and Bird's sitting there, and like a good few minutes goes by, and there's like I'm sitting with Bird, like what am I going to ask him about? So I'm like, what do you think about the show? And he's just like, boring. He's like boring. He's like bad. So Hardy, all right. So I told you, and you immediately took him to one of the studios, And what do I got here, Mike? What did you ask him about, Hardy?
Well, you know, it's like a little post-mortem. You know, you go in after a show, as we all do, and, you know, the long meetings before the show, long meetings after the show. You dissect everything. You want to try and make the next day better. So that's what I was doing with Bird. I'm like, what went wrong? What was bad about the show? What would you have done to fix it? So
right.
I just rolled on it for a few minutes. I didn't know what I was going to do with it. I sent it to... like Rich and to like Lockhart and a couple other people last night. I'm like, do whatever you want with this, but you know, it's instructive. I think it can help.
It's like sitting down with a program director where they, you know, someone who's been in the business for years upon years, has had success.
Someone who's put together many years flirting with the girl upstairs.
Right.
Yes. All right. So, Mike, what is this first clip that we have?
So the first clip is Hardy and Bird in studio, and he's asking him how to fix the show. How would it have been better yesterday?
Okay, here we go.
All right, Bird, so you didn't like the show today?
No, I didn't.
What was wrong with the show today?
There wasn't a lot going on. Like, we had the Bruins, that was Saturday night. We had the Celtics, that was Saturday night. Nothing was going on Sunday. I didn't mind you guys talking about Tyler Faith, the porn star. I didn't mind you guys just segment with the Academy Awards. I didn't mind that at all. I thought Fred's Jimmy Stewart's cat thing went way too long. Those 10 minutes too long.
As if it was 10 minutes too long, because it was a half an hour. It was 10 minutes too long.
Well, the segment was about 7 minutes long, so I don't know how it went 10 minutes.
Well, yeah, I know. Exactly. I did the imitation for 10 minutes.
At 6:30 in the morning.
At 6:30 in the morning. I went all in.
Now, that was the day before it went on for 10 minutes.
Well, listen, I've actually gone back and listened to that. I enjoyed it so much. All right, I won't. Listen, Bert says not to do it anymore. I won't do it. All right, here we go.
Those 10 minutes too long. And then you guys are just BSing the whole time. I know it's tough. It's 4 hours. Put me on the spot like that.
All right. What would you do differently?
I would have brought up spring training a little bit. I know nobody cares right now, but still.
You just answered your own question. You really just answered your own critique.
He would have brought up spring training, but no one really cares right now.
Well, that sounds like an excellent suggestion. What else does nobody else care about? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about who got screwed in the animated short film category.
20 minutes to fill that, but in a good filler. I know spring training and no one cares right now, but still something to talk about.
Let's go back to Fred's cat thing. What bothers you about Fred's Jimmy Stewart cat?
I don't mind at all. It just went on for too long. Like, he just kept going and going and going. It's like, all right, enough. That's all.
Ideally, how long should a bit like that be?
Let him just BS about the cat stuff for like 2-3 minutes, and that's that. And then move on to something else.
So what should that something else be? What would have been a good transition out of the cat bit into what?
Something that's going on in your personal life, or Fred's life, or even the Moloch's life. I don't know. I like hearing stories about that stuff, what you guys did over the weekend.
All right. Well, let's start with something from your life. Why don't you give us something from your personal life and just tell it in an entertaining way?
Okay. All right, so here is Bird.
Oh, yeah, he's going to tell his entertaining story for
me. So Bird's suggestions were to talk about spring training and to talk
even though nobody cares about spring training.
And talk about and he, by the way, he had a problem with the Bruins and the Celtics talk because the games happened on Saturday.
Of course.
Which, of course, because what we did is we broke down the games quarter by quarter. All right, so here we go. As a sports talk station, we dared mention the Celtics and Bruins. Here is what Bird would have done had he been given the mic.
Like this past weekend, I got caught in two bridges that went up, and I was pissed about it. So I was driving to Winthrop.
Okay, so Bird's idea is that he had to stop at a bridge that got that
two.
Went up.
Two. Yeah, two.
But now, did he get caught in the two bridges? Because that would have been a story.
Hey, why don't you two shut up and listen to this guy tell you how to do it?
I apologize. I am interrupting it. All right, let's hear Bird's story. Let's hear Bird's story uninterrupted.
Okay.
Like this past weekend, I got caught in two bridges that went up, and I was pissed about it. So I was driving to Winthrop Railway, and I got blocked off, and I was pissed about that, so I had to go around. And like 45 minutes to an hour, it took me just to get into Winthrop to pick up my girlfriend's sister. And we get there, and she's like, hi, whatever. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, let's go. So me and my girlfriend and I were on the way there. We should have took I-90, went under the bridge, not under the bridge, but took the tunnel into Boston to go to Somerville. But she wanted to go through Chelsea and East Boston. So we go to the Chelsea Bridge. That's up. I'm furious about that. I'm like, let's take a left. Took a left. Try to beat that tugboat in the boat. And the bridge went up again. I tweeted that out. I was like, what the hell? And I'm sitting there. I'm like, ugh. And then me and her are fighting in the car. We get out of the car. We start fighting. It was pretty funny and entertaining. Finally, the bridge went down. And then it took us another 20 minutes, a half hour to get there because all the traffic and the flooding in the area. It just pissed me off. And then we finally get there and her aunt and uncle are busting our chops. Where are you guys? Dinner was at 3. You're here at 3:45.
Why are you having dinner at 3 o'clock?
None of your business, that's why.
Out of all the things from that story, that is the one question you can take for that.
All right, so Bird continues.
Why are you having dinner at 3 o'clock?
That's what time they had dinner. I don't know.
They're 100.
I don't know. I have no idea why. They said 10 to 3. That's the time.
Well, you had two good ideas. You had more personal stories in the weekend, and so you told ours. And what about, like, a Red Sox thing from training camp?
I mean, Benintendi hit a home run. That's exciting a little bit. I mean, I think Devers went long, too. I know we lost to Baltimore. I think it was, like, 10 to 8, I believe. I'm not sure. I wasn't really paying attention. I just saw him home runs.
Because you were asleep.
Speeded out.
But you still think we should talk about it?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, just talk a little Red Sox preseason, that's all.
All right, well, this is your chance right now. Just lay some on us.
All right, so briefly, okay. Here is Bird's
right. Red Sox
this
Minute.
It's time to shine.
Is this the Red Sox Minute?
It is a minute.
I like it.
And this is Bird's Red Sox Minute.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Live from Everett, it's Bird's Spring Training Update.
Red Sox are doing very well this spring training. They have a winning record. All the young bats are swinging away. Pitching looks phenomenal. That one pitcher with that weird... I'm surprised you guys didn't talk about that. There's one pitcher with a weird windup. I forget the pitcher's name, but it's just... He has like a weird, it goes like over the head windup. It's ridiculous. You know what I mean? And the season starts 1 month from... Well, tomorrow. I think it's 30 or 29 days after I record this. People should get excited for the Red Sox. I know everyone's saying that basically they're vanilla, plain, and blah, because the same team as last year with the addition of J.D. Martinez, but, like, we're going to go far. We're going to compete with the Yankees. Our pitching staff is so much better than the Yankees. And that's how you win championships, is pitching, and we have the bats. I'm sure, I know they have the bats, but we have a better pitching staff than them.
That's how you do radio. Well, in fairness, Mike, he does have that weird windup where your hands go above your head.
It's the weird. The weird windup.
The weird windup where your hands go above your head, as opposed to every other windup.
Where the hands never go above shoulder level.
Bird stories are like a car that stops and starts again. Like the engine dies, and then it starts back up, and then it goes in reverse.
He told a story for the air about how it took a long time to get to his girlfriend's house for the 3 o'clock dinner.
He was very upset about the number of calls that came in yesterday, too.
Oh, really?
There were too many?
No, there weren't enough.
Oh, okay.
They couldn't keep him interested.
He was never around when the phone was ringing.
Okay. Like, for all he knows, the phones rang for 2 hours while he was sleeping.
So it says Bird's story sounds like he's interpreting his own caveman paintings.
Fired. I can't wait to go on the air today. I'm going to hit the ground running. I'm going to be like shot out of a cannon. Yeah. I only hope Zoe and Beetle were listening too for the pointers.
He's like reading Braille on a volcano.
I think we should, you know, at the end of every show, we should have a Bird radio consultant where he tells us how we did that day.
Yeah, I mean, you should. I said, so how's the show today? And he's like, oh, it's so terrible. All right. Well, Hardy, I'm sorry that you were you had to be involved in that critique, but you know, it sometimes constructive criticism works the best.
Tough pill to swallow, but we're all better for it. Thanks, guys.
It's all true. Right. Thank you so much. There you go. Program Director Bird. Belichick, by the way, popping up in some broadcast booths.
Feeling a little loose.
Yeah, it's his time of year. You know, he just got off the Caribbean island where he had sweet t-shirts that said, like, let him die.
Let him die.
He had shirts that were like, hey, I kick ass and stuff. And he cut the sleeves off.
It was a military shirt.
Yeah, it was like,
let him die.
It was like a, you know, like a mercenary shirt.
Toucher.
Is this what you want?
And Rich.
Are you happy now?
Toucher and Rich.
Ah, sick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah! 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The Combine. Can probably be fairly grueling for those who work at the NFL Network. You're there from morning until night. Mike Mayock is running all over the place. Rich Eisen does his very clever 40-yard dash, which I did not see this year. Did he do it this year? I would imagine.
Rich Eisen?
Yeah,
he always does.
Oh, did you
call
out the commissioner? Yeah.
The commissioner did it up in his office.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeehaw.
All right, so they were... just to mind their own business and probably taking a page from Mr. RKK. Here comes Wild Bill Belichick.
So there aren't many things that I find more entertaining than when Bill Belichick tries to act like a normal human being.
Right.
Like when that one documentary or thing that he did where it had him with his family and they're all grilling and...
Partying.
Yep, had a party going on here. Hey, it's a party. Partying.
Yeah, when Moss asked him about having a Halloween party.
Oh, yeah, he's like, candy and costumes. What's better than that? Like, I mean, when he lets his hair down a little bit and is like, yeah, I'm just like you. There really aren't many things better. So he kind of got into that mode.
Candy and costumes.
Yeah.
How can you beat that?
Right.
Yeah. So he kind of got into that mode. He's like, you know what? I'm going to surprise Rich Eisen, but I'm going to, you know, I'm not all business all the time.
Right.
I'm going to let that reputation kind of go by the wayside. Let's surprise these jamokes here in the booth.
All right. So here is Bill Belichick on the NFL Network.
It is the head coach of the New England Patriots. Good to see you, sir.
That's good
Bill
to see you.
Belichick. Good to see you, coach.
Good to see you, coach.
And he is here in the booth.
Yeah, spot I'm not used to being in.
Okay. Back here.
Why are they all whispering? Sounds like they're on the 18th.
Watching golf.
Yeah,
it's
sounds
the
like
Masters.
The 18th green of Royal Troon.
My God. There's people screaming on the field.
Yeah, I mean, what are they... Was it? Just like, okay, everyone very reverent tone.
Everyone has to wait for Mayock. I think they were speaking in a normal volume until Belichick walked in.
No, I'm saying
it was reverent tone.
Right.
It's like when the Pope walks in.
Oh, okay, everyone. Oh boy, now we're hot to trot.
Spot I'm not used to being in.
Okay. Back here.
You know, I just want to say on behalf of all the football fans out there, you guys do a tremendous job.
Thank you. It means a lot. Thank you. Well, I want to say this. It completely surprised us stopping in again, but...
Well, Rich, I wanted to wait until, I want to take advantage of this opportunity and get the top ratings.
Monday morning. His smile is like the cat that ate the canary. You didn't know I had that in me, did you?
How the young men eat your heart out.
I got zingers, zingers for days.
Mm-hmm. Like catching you when you're not ready for it.
You've been Belichicked.
Indeed.
Belichick yourself.
Now you tell a joke and I'll tag it. Come on.
I do want to mention what you surprised me with here, this piece of paper. You wrote a check to the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, and that I could not think
unbelievable more than that. Yeah. What you've done with this event's been amazing, and
thank you.
You know, you're 40, it's historic now. I mean,
Jesus.
That was a non sequitur.
Yeah. Well, you know, did you do the finger guns?
Like, here's this check for St. Jude. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, I know,
but it's just like you're 40 times.
Yeah, I had that one ready to go. Written down on the old notepad here. They're coming fast and furious, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Mayak. Mm-hmm.
You've been burned.
Mayak. You know as much about football as Art Shell.
Shell.
Shell?
Come to my new comedy club, Bella Chuckles.
Hey, Rich Eisen, you're as bald as the father from Just the 10 of Us.
That is the most random reference.
Right. That's right up there with Art Shell, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, you're 40. It's historic now. I mean,
that's one way to put it.
I will take that. I will take that.
It's one of the icing on the cake of this whole event. So, forward to seeing your run.
Well, I appreciate that. As you know, you know the value of a Michigan man running a 40 at a combine. I think that they are going to show what, no doubt, put Tom Brady on your draft board. I believe was.
Well, can we synchronize that? I thought we didn't have the. I thought our technology that we're not able to do that.
No, not able
like
to do
2004.
That.
We are.
Shecky Belichick. Belichick.
You know that Brady, he's as slow as a regular sloth.
That's the joke?
Hmm? You know that Brady there, he's makes a snail look like Carl Lewis.
Shecky Belichick. Bella chuckles.
Rich, your head is so bald, it reminds me of a burned down rainforest. All right, we continue. Bill Belichick's having fun.
Otherwise, I'd want to see Deion against these other guys that are running the 4.32s and 4.31s or whatever, because I'm sure he's a good stride and a half ahead of them.
Now, is that true that he did he run out of the building?
Sure did. Yeah, ran a 4 and just that's it. Just ran right through the end zone in the old dome. Yeah.
Prime, he just took off. Is that what
I want to say? It was 4.27.
No, that was better than that.
That was better than that. Okay, all right.
I'm just saying it was better than that, Coach.
There he is.
Coach, I respect you with the utmost. I mean, you're the best coach to ever do it, but it was better than that, Coach.
All right, well, I'm a little slow on the trigger there. I just remember when I interviewed you in the hotel, and I said, look, you're a great player, and you know, you're going to have a big impact on whichever team you go to, but with all due respect, if you come to the Giants, you know, we got another guy who's a little bit bigger than you are at this point. You know, how would you handle that? And obviously, referring to Taylor, and you said, well, I think the fans are just going to have to change and get used to me if I'm there.
It's a little anecdote, okay, guy coming at you.
And then he'd sniffed an 8-ball of coke. Said to him, we got this Lawrence Taylor. He loves drugs.
Sounds about right.
That's it.
Sounds
about right. I said, okay, that was a good way to put it.
That is accurate.
You know, we had Matt Patricia stop by the other day, and it was great to chat with him. And
all right, stop a second. Can you predict the joke?
I'm sorry.
Here's the setup. This is almost a funny you should ask moment.
Okay. It's about the beard.
Okay. No, no, okay. So Matt Patricia, we had him in here. What do you think of Matt Patricia?
Oh, he's no rocket scientist. That's a good one. So, but I don't even think it's that. I think he said, did he have the pencil in it? Did he have the pencil in his ear?
No, he's no rocket scientist. That's got to be what it is.
Okay.
You know, we had Matt Patricia stop by the other day, and it was great to chat with him. And well, what do you think he's going to bring to the Detroit Lions, Coach?
Matt's as hard a working guy as I've ever been around. He grinds it. Well, he's smart, too. He put together those rockets there at
right
in college. So
he did.
I can't even, you know, get my cell phone on. So
that's immeasurable.
Well done.
That was pretty good.
Well done.
I'll give you a half point on that.
Oh, no, told a joke.
I'll give you a half point.
Well, thank you.
Shecky Belichick.
Yeah, you know, he's put in we call him Elton John.
Okay, that's not even a...
He's a rocket man.
Okay. That's good.
Even though Bernie Chapin wrote the lyrics, so technically that's correct.
He just trails off a joke and kills it with an explanation. That's a good way to do it.
It's literal Belichuckles.
Bill Belichuckles.
Literal Bill Belichuckles.
literal Bill Belichuckles. And now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ha Ha Hut. It's Bill Belichuckles. Literal Bill Belichuckles.
You know, I heard that ZZ Top has a new guitar player. His name is Matt Patricia. But Patricia's beard not nearly long as Billy Gibbons.
This is over-explanation, Bill Belichuckle. What else do you know about Matt Patricia?
I can tell you about Josh McDaniels.
Sure.
Josh McDaniels sounds like he was kicked in the balls by a horse.
Okay. Yes. And?
Secretariat is the greatest racehorse of all time.
Well, see, now you're over-explaining.
It's true.
There was no need to do that. Right. But there really is nothing better than when Bill Belichick tries to sound like a normal human being and have a little fun. There really aren't many things better
we're
than
trying
that.
To, from a team standpoint, we're trying to have a Halloween party. You're not interested in that, are you?
I see trees of green.
In what? Halloween party?
Red roses too.
I'm dressed as the devil.
I see them blue.
You might win the damn prize. Put me down for the junior mints.
And I think to myself,
it's a great holiday.
Yeah, it's a great holiday. What a wonderful world.
Candy and costume.
Yeah.
How can you beat that?
Right.
Happy Halloween, and may there be plenty of leftovers.
I see skies of blue.
Still Jersey rock and roll.
And clouds of white.
Jersey rockers.
The bright, blessed day.
Jersey rock stars.
The dark, sacred night.
Ah, we've got a party going here.
I think to myself.
What's cooking? Partying.
What a wonderful world.
You know, I just want to say on behalf of all the football fans out there, you guys do a tremendous job.
I think to myself.
It's the BB PBJ, Bill Belichick's peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Certainly the icing on the cake of this whole event. So look forward to seeing you run.
Do we want to end on a high note? No problem. Go on a high note then. Let's just end on a high note.
98.5 Sports Hub.
The Bruins have successfully swept the series, the four games they've played against Montreal this season. And Montreal is in a pit of despair. Claude Julien, since taking over that team, has done nothing positive. In fact, despite the fact that he's got an extension, I have to imagine he gets fired after this season.
There are 3 years left on the extension. 3 years?
But you're in Montreal. You can afford it. And you have a fan base that won't put up with it. But not only is Claude Julien failing in Montreal, Claude Julien is a coach where this team would not be having anywhere near the success. Cassidy obviously has made the defense much more aggressive. And if you look at the young players contributing, short of McAvoy, I don't think any of these guys would be getting regular playing time.
No, we know for damn sure DeBrusk wouldn't be getting a regular turn on the second line. We know that Carlo would have been buried, would have been sent to Providence.
Or been traded.
By now, or traded at the deadline for a veteran.
Yeah, you know, and traded for some, you know, third line defenseman or some fourth line forward. Some, you know, 38-year-old fourth line forward who he can quote unquote trust.
Think about the young guys on the fourth line. Well, do we think any, all three of those guys would still be together?
And which is the worst thing about Julian, and it was the worst thing about Shirelli, is that the most obvious thing to anyone with a brain was that even with Chicago, who does this, they've still had to dump players. But the thing is that you need young players. You need guys on rookie deals playing on your fourth line. You cannot afford to have veteran players making any sort of money on your fourth line. The salary cap in hockey does not go up. It's unlike any other of the big four that have, or I guess basketball or football. It is, the cap never goes up. You're constantly fighting against the cap. So Julian gets embarrassed for the fourth time this season against the Bruins, and he has this to say after the game.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious. Your best shooter is on a breakaway, and he doesn't get a shot away. I think everybody agrees it should have been a penalty shot. And what's embarrassing is Nash embellishing. It didn't, you know, the stick hits his shoulder, doesn't even hit his face, and he embellishes, looks at the referee. Those are embarrassing things in our game of hockey.
Yeah. So they embarrassed themselves so much. They're the team that embarrassed you. And by the way, so that was the decisive point of the game, is that you think that Nash embellished?
Well, he did embellish, but that's besides
the point. No, he did, but that wasn't the make or break point of the game.
And no, it didn't. None of the penalties that he's referring to decided the game. It was a delay of game that led to a goal. That was the, if I'm not mistaken, it was a delay of game that led to the goal, if I have it right here. Yes, that was what happened. It was a delay of game. So Claude Julien, you know what? We know what's embarrassing is losing. What's not embarrassing is faking that something happened on the ice.
It's also embarrassing not scoring goals.
Right.
That's the other thing that they've been woefully unable to do.
And I even said it was when he was here. If Julian, there's a way that you can get an advantage of the game. There's a way that you can win. What you're so prideful that it's just like you're too prideful to play young players because you don't trust them. Because they might make a mistake here or there, even though they're far far more upside than anyone else.
Just to kind of amplify that real quick about the lack of offense for Montreal, they've scored more than 3 goals in a game once in the last month.
Good. But you know what? They should be proud because they don't embellish. They should be proud. If there's an advantage to be had in a game, why would you not take advantage of that? And now he's pouting and throwing fits and taking shots at the Bruins because he's embarrassed.
Well, he's been calling out embellishers even when he was a coach of the Bruins.
Well, that's what I said. I said that, and I hated it then. If you can get an advantage in the game, why wouldn't you take it?
But just the balls to say that when you're wearing the Canadiens logo, it's a little ballsy.
No,
an organization that's known for that.
Well, then he cried and cried and cried and cried after that game about the officiating and how they were on the penalty kill too much and that they got tired. So what's more embarrassing, Nash taking a stick to the chest and then faking that he got hit in the face, or you crying like a baby after the game is over? My God. Oh, we're doing it the right way. We're doing it the right way. Well, you lose. You know what then everyone in football should do? Is they should do student body right every play. Because you know what ruined football is the forward pass. Oh, you know, the receiver. Can you imagine if Belichick came out like and said, you know what, we would have won, but the receiver from the Vikings acted like he was interfered with, and it cost us 45 yards. But that's a no-class act. No! The idea is that you win the game, stupid. And all you're doing is proving that you're this, like, living by some weird set of rules that are completely non-compliant with today's NHL.
And once again, as I said, you're totally cool with Marcus Smart then.
Well, yeah, you got to be touched.
You can't just fall over. You know, just get basically
blown
on.
He's got much better about that. He hasn't done a lot.
Not as much lately. Yes.
No.
I mean, basketball is a whole other animal. I mean, basketball is a whole other thing. I mean, there's people. I mean, there's people hitting the deck.
All right. When someone
constantly sneezes
and it looks like you got sniped, you're just like, ah.
No, because they'll call it in the NHL. They'll call embellishment in the NHL.
Well, they'll fine you in the NBA. Right. It doesn't happen often, but they do.
It's such a deterrent to get that, you know, $5,000 fine.
Right.
I'm sure they really care about it. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, it amazes me how much you guys hate on Julian. The guy literally brought us to a Stanley Cup, won one, and nearly won two.
And that was the end of him being any kind of valuable coach. because the game passed him by right after that.
You understand that he, with the same group of players that Bruce Cassidy has, couldn't succeed because he refused to play the younger guys, right? To buy into that.
And you understand that the game has changed quite a bit since 2013 in terms of what you need to do and the way that you have to manage your team and the way that the game is played. The idea that he could stash a guy like Thornton for the kind of money he was making and play him 6-7 minutes a night is antiquated. Giving a guy like Kelly all that money is completely antiquated. That you cannot have a team in the NHL without having fourth line, sprinkling in a ton of youth, because you're not going to be able to afford any top-end players. And Julian was the right coach at the right time for this Bruins team, and then the game passed him by. And now he's where he's at. And I think it's a little embarrassing for Julian, after his team gets owned by the Bruins, to come out and start complaining about an embellishment call that didn't lead to anything. When the penalty that screwed your team was is a no thought about it delay of game.
Well, I agree. The refs were horrible, but they're horrible every game on every time.
Sure.
Should have been a penalty shot.
Sure.
That was clear. But you can't. I mean, his team is horrible. He's lost his best defenseman.
Weber's out. Pacioretty's out. Carey Price is out.
Okay, well, what about him with the same guys that Bruce Cassidy was with? Look at the talent and how he refused to use the younger guys.
Yeah, true. He's not a good coach for young, fast players, and that's true.
That's a problem.
And that's also what the NHL is now. You would agree.
Get some respect for what he did.
Oh, we're not knocking what he did. We're talking about what he was as of late.
I did not take anything away from him. In fact, I was one of the people until last season that thought you should keep Julian around, that he deserved a little bit of rope. But
I was there too. The coach change was the best thing for the team.
Yeah, it was last year was the first time I was like, all right, you got to get rid of Julian.
And that's true, because a lot of people were already flipped their opinion on him, and you were one of the last holdouts.
Well, people wanted to fire him in 2011.
I remember that, yep.
So, no, I agree with you, and I appreciate what he did for this team, but that's not sustainable anymore. And if you look at what Chiarelli's done in Edmonton, I mean, he got gifted the best player in hockey, and he can't get it together over there.
I mean, really, it's really shocking. The difference between the two top guys we discussed earlier, Connor McDavid and Draisaitl, and then everybody else.
Right.
One guy has 80 points, one guy has 60 points, and the next highest has 30.
Right.
It's shockingly bad.
Do you think, and they traded
Taylor Hall for a defenseman, yes.
Yeah, they traded Taylor Hall to New Jersey, who, at least when they played the Bruins, looked damn good. And he got nothing. Chiarelli mismanaged that team to a point that it's a miracle that they got out of it. It's a miracle that they were able to get out of that. All right, so we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is this Mountain?
I believe it's Leslie West. By little, I mean in height, not in girth. Is Leslie West still alive? No, he's dead. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, breaking the news that Leslie West at some point
died
in prior times. Mm-hmm. Has died. Or has died. The Oscars, by the way, the lowest ever.
Yeah, you have to have movies people want to see.
But that is not true. They're saying that The Shape of Water, which won Best Picture, is the biggest Best Picture winner in 5 years since Argo won in 2013.
Well, I mean, that is probably true, because I know that Moonlight movie, like, who even thinks about that anymore?
I don't even know what that is.
That won last year.
What is it about?
It was about a gay African-American during 3 points of his life. Started off as like a little boy, and then when he was like a high schooler, and then he was like in his 20s.
So it was like Boyhood.
It wasn't done. No,
it was Boyhood, but without like the scope.
Pretty much.
It was.
Yes, I would think so.
It was Boyhood, but using three different actors.
Did you see The Shape of Water?
No, I don't care for that fish man.
Well, you see, I love that director. He did a movie called Pan's Labyrinth, which is a top 10 movie of mine. I love it. I thought Shape of Water was fine, but the minute somebody called it Grinding Nemo, I couldn't think of it any other way. I mean, the woman, but just think about it. The movie that just won Best Picture, she's mute, but in her mind, she can speak. But there is a movie that just won Best Picture about a woman who has sex with a fish.
Now, they consummate that? Did they show it? Is it?
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's sex scenes.
Something out of Malibu Express?
It's like, but it's not like, you know, like graphic, but I mean, like he's there, she's naked, and they're about to hook up.
They show boobies?
Yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, she's naked. Dog. So, yeah, it is very weird.
They don't do the sheet. Like, there's not like a drape over the bed and like candlelight. No. You see the silhouette.
No, it is not done like one of those Kirk Cameron movies when they kiss.
There's a big veil.
Right. Like, so they can't even kiss.
Well, no, the only time they kiss in the Chris Cameron movies is when the ring comes on the fingers.
Yes. But no. Shape of Water was, I thought it was good. It was fine. I love that guy, but it was fine. You know what? To be honest, like the only two movies this year that actually did anything for me that like really were like, oh my God, I don't even know if I liked them, but they stuck with me was Blade Runner. The Blade Runner movie, even though it took me 2 days to watch it because I fell asleep from the first half of it because it's so sleepy. But that movie like is so, it looks so good. It's so weird. Great film. And that movie Mother, like that's the only one that's like stuck with me this year. Those two movies, everything else was just kind of fine.
You like Get Out.
Oh, no, Get Out. I did like Get Out. Yeah. I liked Get Out a lot.
You didn't think about it afterwards.
No, I did a little bit. So, that in fairness, yeah, Get Out was probably the best of all of those that were nominated.
So, Peele is the one that won the Oscar, right?
Yeah, Jordan Peele.
Screenwriter, right? Well, his partner, Key, his ex-partner, who is everything he's done since Key and Peele has been just awful.
Just what has he terrible. Done? I've seen him in commercials. He was on Super Bowl commercials.
He was on some TV show that had the girl from How I Met Your Mother, the brunette.
Okay.
And that was god-awful. Fred Savage was in that as well.
Okay.
And that was god-awful. Then he was in some movie that was like an independent movie with Jake Johnson, I believe, that was terrible. No. Tom Lynch, Mila Ditch, and then the other guy from Silicon Valley, the funny guy.
Oh, Camille.
The funny one. The one who's not out of
anywhere. Oh, TJ Miller?
Yeah. So I was like, oh, it's got two guys from Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Awful. And so, but there's he's not even in the Oscars, which is kind of mean. So he's not in the Oscars, but he's with Colin Hanks for some reason.
Yeah.
And he's on a chair, like, celebrating when Peele wins the Oscar. And I'm thinking, nah. You don't feel that way.
You don't think that now Jordan Peele's going to throw him a bone?
Yeah.
Put him in his new film?
Okay, so you got to go through a lot of things in your head. Because ultimately, you want your friends to be successful because, like you said...
Yeah.
If you're friends with Adam Sandler...
You're making crazy money for the rest of your life.
So if I'm David Spade, and I realized... And I was jealous of Sandler, and I kind of shut him out...
Yeah.
I would have cost myself millions and millions of dollars. So the reality of the situation is you want your friends to be successful... So they could throw you a bone at some point, unless they're terrible people. But there also has to be that initial reaction of, what have I become? Like, this guy has so far outshined me. Like, he made this movie and it won best writer or whatever the hell it was. And here I am doing... You know, Netflix shows.
I tell you, the best picture winners as of late have just been some of the most, like, forgettable films. Moonlight's forgettable. Spotlight was pretty good. Birdman, oh my God, did that movie suck. Birdman lost to Whiplash, which might be the best movie of the last 5 years.
I liked Whiplash.
Whiplash was excellent. 12 Years a Slave, which I did not see. Argo, which was fine. The Artist. Do you remember The Artist? Was it that French guy?
Yes, The Artist.
The King's Speech, which was fine.
He stuttered. It's double meaning.
Wow. Then you got to go back to like 2008 to find one that was excellent. And that was Slumdog Millionaire and No Country for Old Men and The Departed. That's three heavy hitters in a row.
Right.
And The Hurt Locker.
Just people don't care. The Grammy. Well, first of all, if you're watching the Grammys, you need your head examined. I don't understand why that award holds no clout whatsoever. It means nothing. it really does.
It means nothing in terms of quality of the album. It means nothing in terms of the success of the album. The way record sales are now and the way music is consumed, it means absolutely nothing. The Grammys, like, I don't know if I'd show up if I was like had been in a band for 10 years. I don't think I even go. They're boring as hell. I've been to it. It's boring as hell. You can't hear anything. And then, like, I think people are just over it with the dumb Oscars. But the SAG Award ratings were down.
Well, then if they're down, then of course.
Right. Mm-hmm.